Well, Andrew, we're 25% done with the season, which means that we're 25% done with the podcast, right?
So we're not going to record after the season?
No, we're done as soon as the season's over, yeah.
Wow. So, well, that's you got to announce your farewell tour eventually, right?
Right. It's like a book that ends at the cliffhanger, you know? We're going to be like that. So.
Okay.
Just kidding. We wouldn't leave our fans just out there to dry.
Phew.
No. We aren't going anywhere. You'll never hear the end of us. So, but anyway, Andrew, we are one quarter of the way done with the regular season. It has been an exciting football season. At least I think so, anyway. There's been a lot of fun games.
Yeah.
I, of course, am Will Patton, and I am joined by...
Andrew Brown.
This is the 4th and Short Podcast. You can find us at 4thandshort.com. Email us at 4thandshortpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook by simply searching for 4th and Short Podcast. Andrew, there's a lot of good games this week. Let's just go straight into it. What do you say?
I say, man, there are just so many games.
So, we've been starting with the SEC. Let's start with the ACC, just to balance it out a little bit.
Okay.
In the first game on the agenda, 12 o'clock kickoff, Georgia Tech at Virginia Tech. Andrew, do we have a chance?
So you're saying there's a chance? Like what? One in a billion?
I wouldn't go that far.
There's a chance, I guess.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance.
Well, wouldn't you say that Georgia Tech has a pretty good offense?
I would say so.
Okay.
There needs to be some consistency worked out.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, I would say that Georgia Tech has a pretty good offense from what I've seen so far this season.
Yeah, I would too. I would also say that probably the defense from Virginia Tech is pretty good. But they've had some passing defense issues.
Yeah, ECU threw for something like 400-plus yards against them in the game last Saturday.
Yeah, that's troubling. So I think if you can figure out a way to exploit their weakness...
Right.
Then you're going to have a chance. The issue is that it seems like previously in the past few years, Georgia Tech has just kind of played right into the hand of Virginia Tech, and you can't do that.
Yeah, they do a really good job of their as far as defenses that we see on a yearly basis. They do a great job of playing very, very aggressive off the line. They usually jump the snap. Somehow, I don't know, they read our counts very, very well. And they also clog up the middle and force the game to the outside where they feel like they have a better chance of containing us. Normally, they have pretty good corners to be able to do that. But maybe they don't this year. Maybe their secondary is a weakness, and maybe going to the outside will be a benefit for us.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a good point. And it does look like their corners might not be able to cover our receivers also. And that is something that could be a benefit, is that if you can kind of get out of the pocket, if Justin Thomas can get out of the pocket and throw, he might be able to hit one of those receivers for a couple big gains. And the one time that we were able to beat Virginia Tech under Paul Johnson, what ended up opening up the defense a little bit is that they had a couple big pass plays.
Right.
They were able to get a couple
not
of
many,
big,
but
not. It was enough. It was enough to be able to open it up, and Josh Nesbitt had a couple of really big pass plays that kind of were just enough to turn it around and be able to move the ball running. So that I think is the key. Is Justin Thomas able to make a couple of big pass plays to where they have to respect it?
I think the difference this year, as opposed to last year, and you said it, is Justin Thomas. And I'm really excited to see what this kid can do as he gains more maturity and more experience because of that speed that he has. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week in the win over Georgia Southern, is that in that last play on offense, basically any other quarterback that we've ever had in the Georgia Tech Paul Johnson era gets sacked on that play. Mm-hmm. There's a linebacker that was blitzing on the play, came through the line unblocked, and it really is. I've watched the replay several times, and it really is amazing how Justin Thomas just shook off that tackle completely, just moved away from it, like instinct moved away from it, and then made a great pass to Deion Hill for the touchdown. That is something that we've not had in the Paul Johnson era, and I'm hoping that we can see that the aggressiveness of Virginia Tech's defense will be negated by the speed and quickness of Justin Thomas.
Yeah. I think that's kind of your only way to win it, is that you're going to have to score some points and find a way to move the ball offensively, because I don't think our defense is going to be able to stop them too much.
Yeah. Now, luckily for us, a lot of times it's too early to know for sure with this Virginia Tech team, but a lot of times with Virginia Tech, the best defense against them is themselves. They tend to shoot themselves in the foot quite a bit. Now, they typically don't do it too very often against us. It always seems like they play one of their better games of the season against us, but we can hope for something different to happen this time around. You know, one interesting, you know, outside of the game itself, one interesting observation in regards to the series is that this is the first time in, I believe, Andrew, since 2009 that this game has been played on a Saturday.
Really?
Really. Because last year it was on a Thursday. The year before it was on Labor Day. And I believe the 2 years before that, it was also on a Thursday.
Huh.
So the last time we played this game on a Saturday was 2009.
And Will, what that means is that you are searching for a statistic that makes it look like Georgia Tech could win this game.
I'm searching for something to just help us out. You know, there's that great movie, Major League, where the announcers cite ridiculous stats the entire game, saying, like, oh, they hit left-handers higher than anybody else on Tuesdays after a rain delay or something like that. So as far as a pick, Andrew, what do you think? Do you think the Jackets are going to be able to pull it off, or do you think the Hokies, who are the favorite in this game, I believe they have 7.5 points in favor of the Hokies, do you think that they come away with a win in Blacksburg?
Now, Will, I believe you called this game a linchpin game.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I did not believe it was a linchpin game. I don't think your season rests on this game. We don't know much about Virginia Tech. We know they beat Ohio State. We know they lost to East Carolina. What does that mean? I have no idea.
No clue.
So I'm not going to base off anything I've seen this season. I'm just going to say that the last couple of years, Virginia Tech has been able to beat Georgia Tech, and so I'm going to say the final score is Virginia Tech 20, Georgia Tech 16.
Yeah, and that score that you referenced there is a good indicator of what the score normally is. This game typically is fairly low scoring, just about every time it's played. I think this time there could be more points on the board. I think that Georgia Tech's offense is a little bit more dynamic than it has been in previous years. And I think that even though the first three games on offense, there hasn't been a complete game on offense yet, I think that there's enough experience for the Jackets to where they'll be able to score a few more points against Bud Foster's defense than in previous years. But on the other side of the ball, Georgia Tech's defense is very, very bad, at least as far as what we've seen so far. They haven't really shown me much to let me say that they're going to be able to make a sufficient number of stops to win this game. So as much as I do want to pick Georgia Tech, I think that I'm going to have to agree with you, and I think that Virginia Tech will probably win this game. And my guess is the score is going to be like 31-28 or 31-24 or something like that.
Wow.
So I think there will be a little bit more points scored, but I think that unfortunately, I think that Virginia Tech is going to come out on top on this one. So I hope I'm wrong, of course, and I know you hope you're wrong as well, Andrew.
Yes, yes.
But I have to go with my gut on this one. This is, you know, we don't put the gold-colored glasses on every time.
Just sometimes. Just sometimes.
Just sometimes. Next game, Iowa at Pittsburgh.
They have the head coach over there, highest paid official, public official in the state of Iowa.
Well, but that goes for most states, right? Where the highest paid public official is almost always in every state a college football coach, right?
I don't know. I do know that it is not really something that people in the state of Iowa are too thrilled about. Kirk Ferentz has been there for a long time. I believe his first year was 1999. So he's been there for a good amount of time. And he's had some success, followed by years of famine. And you know, if you remember, in 2009, he had that team that went to the Orange Bowl and beat Georgia Tech. And I believe they finished 12-2 or 11-2. They had a pretty good team.
I believe they only had one loss. Andrew.
Do they only have one loss? Okay.
Yeah, they were very, very close. They were one game away from going to the national championship that year. They had one game where their starting quarterback, I can't remember who it was, but he was hurt for one game. No, you were right. You're right. They had two losses, but when they played Northwestern, their quarterback was hurt, and if he had not been hurt, they would have surely won that game. And then they lost to Ohio State in overtime. But even then, I believe there was some one-loss teams in the national championship that year. So they were very, very close to playing in the national championship.
Yeah. If you look at Ferentz's record, 2002 he went 11-2, then 2003 went 10-3, then 2004 he went 10-2. After 2004, he got a big contract. I believe he makes over $4 million a year, which is pretty incredible.
Wow. Yeah, that is.
Yeah. And then there were several years where he just didn't do a whole lot, you know, 7-5, 6-6. And then 2009, they went 11-2. And since then, same kind of thing, downward spiral. After 2009, he got another big contract extension. And it was in 2012, he made the comment that it's something that he is glad that college football has guaranteed money, meaning that he understood that people wanted to fire him.
Right.
Now, the opposite side of that is that Iowa is not a traditional place that you can win a lot. They have some very interesting recruiting methods. They go after a lot of players that nobody else goes after. They find a lot of diamonds in the rough, and so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. All that to say is last week they're coming off a 20-17 loss to their rivals, the Iowa State Cyclones. Game-winning field goal for Iowa State, so Kirk Ferentz is under a little bit of heat right now. Some people are not too happy with him. I don't think that this is going to help because I think Pittsburgh is probably a better team than Iowa is right now, and I think Pittsburgh is going to win. And I don't think it's going to be particularly close. Iowa has a good defense, but I think Pitt can at least win by 10 points.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has so far impressed me this season. I didn't really realize how big that win against Boston College was until Boston College beat USC. And I know it's hard to compare one team to another, especially this early in the season. But I think Pittsburgh could be a sleeper in the ACC. And I agree with you. I think that they are the better team in this matchup. And given that it's a home game also gives them extra advantage. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this game. All right, Andrew, this is going to be a fun one. Our favorite team, Maryland, at Syracuse. How do you pick this game?
Easily, Syracuse.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, can't pick against a 2-0 Syracuse. So I agree with you. I think they just... But then you get back to it, Andrew. Maryland plays in a football conference.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I still pick Syracuse.
Yeah, me too. I can never, ever in my entire life pick Maryland. Mm-mm. Okay, next game, Tulane at Duke.
Wow, Tulane, they've got a football program over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah.
They're pretty good. I'm going to say that Duke wins by 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think so, too. Duke is this is their last of the non-conference games they play this season. And while none of the games that they played non-conference were, I guess, really big marquee matchups, I guess you could argue that Kansas was the biggest opponent that they played. But they've taken care of business in every single game they've played, and I don't think that it's going to be any different for the game against Tulane. So I see them winning fairly easily. Duke is, again, we've said this a lot in the last couple of years, but Duke is not your grandfather's Duke. They are good. But they can be really good. So I'm going to pick Duke to win this one. No more embarrassing losses for them.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay.
Next game, Maine at Boston College.
Boston College is riding high over that big win. Maine is not good. Boston College is going to win by a lot.
Yeah, that running game from Boston College is very impressive. It's a lot of fun to watch. So, yeah, I agree, Boston College. Okay, this one should be a good matchup. North Carolina at East Carolina. Now, East Carolina is coming off that big win against Virginia Tech.
Well, Virginia Tech was—they were just overlooking East Carolina.
Oh, and, that's right.
You know, that's the way it works. And of course, North Carolina, the flagship school, they're the ACC champs already.
Right.
East Carolina in an upset.
You know, I haven't seen the line for this game, but I'm not even sure if that would be considered an upset.
I would say probably North Carolina's line is probably a little bit bigger than East Carolina's, but I'm not sure how much that's going to affect, because East Carolina with their run-and-shoot offense.
Oh, yeah. North Carolina has not really done much this season to tell me that they deserve to be a ranked team, and I guess the AP agrees because they are no longer ranked after their near loss to San Diego State in Week 2. They did have a bye coming into this game, which they may very well need. I think that East Carolina takes care of business and wins handedly.
I'm sorry, Will, that I threw you off with my line comment.
Oh, I knew what you meant, though, about the size of the lines.
Yes. Oh, I knew you knew what I meant. I was just intentionally trying to, you know, throw you for a loop. Oh. I knew what you meant also.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'm glad that we're in agreement then.
Yes.
East Carolina wins it easily.
I don't know about Vegas either, to answer your question.
Okay, all right. Next game, Louisville at Florida International.
FIU is terrible, Will. Terrible.
They gave Pittsburgh a little bit of a hard time.
Terrible. Louisville, coming off that last loss, Bobby Petrino is not happy. He might be off riding his motorcycle right now. I don't know. Louisville going to Florida International. Louisville wins this game. It's not close. It's just not close.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it'll be close either. Okay, next game, Army at Wake Forest.
You know, Jeff Munkin up at Army trying to build a program, and I think you already can see inroads. He's already doing a lot better than they've been. You know, I don't know, and this is a question I'm curious. How long is it going to take Jeff Munkin before he's finally able to beat Navy?
I don't know. You know, they've played two games so far this season. They beat Buffalo, and then they lost badly to Stanford. But Stanford's really good, and they have very, very big offensive and defensive lines, which I'm sure Army just could do nothing against. Wake Forest is bad.
Really bad.
They're really bad.
But last year, Army went 3-9.
Yeah.
I personally, my opinion is, I think that Army can squeak out 6 wins and get to a bowl this year. I really think that they could do that. They've got UConn, they've got Western Kentucky, they've got Fordham, wherever the heck that is, Yale, Ball State. I think there's a couple wins in there, and Wake Forest. I'm going to pick them to beat Wake Forest. I think they have a chance against Navy, too. I really think that, you know, Munkin's done some great things. I think he's going to win some games here. They're going to beat Wake. That's 2 wins. I think they find 6 wins and go to a bowl this year.
Yeah, you know, I made the mistake of picking Wake last week. against Utah State.
You should do it again. This is going to be a close game, Will.
No, I'm not making that mistake again.
Army runs that offense, that option.
I'm going to pick Army to win, but I think it's going to be really close. I think the winner wins by a field goal.
Okay, no need to yell.
Okay. All right, next game, Virginia at BYU.
BYU, I mean, they really killed Texas.
Yeah.
But last year Virginia did manage to beat BYU, but this time it's at BYU. And yeah. You asked the question, you know, I think a couple episodes ago, what does BYU have to do to prove themselves?
And they got to keep winning these games, and so far they've done it this season.
They've done it. They've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to keep doing it. I think they win this game. It's too far, too much travel. You know, that's a big
long trip. I mean, going to Provo is not easy.
No.
And Georgia Tech, we learned it last year, having to go there. It's the altitude. It's a long trip to begin with. You know, I've been pleasantly surprised by Virginia so far this season. They played UCLA very tough. Probably should have won that game. Last week they beat Louisville and was a big upset.
Yeah.
But I agree. I don't think that they have it in them this time around going to Provo. So I'm going to pick BYU to win. But I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think Virginia's defense is good enough to keep them in the game for a while, but not the whole game.
Yeah, I like you said, Will, Virginia is a scary, scary team. I think that as the season goes on, they look to be getting better. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to see where they go. It's a game that most people at the beginning of the year weren't really worried about, but I think there are probably a few people now who are a little bit worried.
Yeah, in the Coastal especially. Okay, next game, Presbyterian at North Carolina State.
Well, you know, Dave Dorian at NC State, he's got them undefeated.
Yeah,
NC
somehow.
State's undefeated. Yeah, somehow. And Georgia Tech would say, well, hey, we're undefeated, but they've had some close losses, close wins, I mean. Obviously, NC State's done the same thing. Some close wins. They did kind of finally come out against South Florida. They got another one here. Presbyterian's not very good. They're going to be 4-0. I don't know what that 4-0 means, but they're going to be 4-0.
Well, they're going to be 4-1 shortly after, because they play Florida State after Presbyterian.
Then maybe 4-2.
Yeah, and then they play Clemson, and then they play Boston College, and then Louisville. So they may be quickly 4-4. But I don't think Presbyterian's very good, and I think NC State will be 4-0 after this game.
Well, and also, Will, 4-0, if they win on Saturday, they were 3-9 last year, so they're already exceeding last year's win total. So that's at least progress.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely progress. Now they got to win some. They got to win some conference games.
Yeah.
And they still have a zero in that column for that. So, okay, next game, Miami at Nebraska.
This is at Nebraska. This is a game, this is like an old school game here. This is back in the 80s when the University of Miami was first on the scene. They would go to these games and they'd win some of them because they had better talent than these schools. I don't think Miami has that talent any longer. Their defense is still suspect. Bo Pelini at Nebraska, though, finds a way to lose some games. And they've struggled the last couple weeks. Nebraska's ranked. I don't think they're going to be ranked anymore. I think Miami, even though Miami is not the Miami of old, I don't think they're as good as they once were. I also don't think Nebraska's as good as it once was. I think Miami's going to win this one at Nebraska. At Nebraska, they're going to win this.
You know, I thought we were going to be able to get through this whole thing and we were going to agree on everything.
Nah.
Miami, you're right in the sense that Miami doesn't have the talent of old, but it's not to say they don't have any talent. They get a lot of talent. They are always ranked very highly in the recruiting rankings, but they can never figure out how to adequately use that talent, it seems. It always just seems like there's a lot of very great athletes on the field, but it never translates to a good season, at least not in the past couple of years.
I mean, are you saying that's coaching?
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's just... It might come back to coaching. I'm really not sure what it is. I think that Nebraska is going to win this game. This is their first real test of the season, but I think I don't think that they're going to blow this one. I think
you think that Bo Pelini is a better coach than Al Golden?
Yeah, I think so, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
What is what has Al Golden done since he's been there?
What has Bo Pelini done? Bo Pelini loses 4 games every year. Look at his record. Look at his career record every year. 9-4, 10-4, every year. They win some games they shouldn't win, and they lose some head scratchers. They already played McNeese State. And don't say, oh, I'm not sure where McNeese State is. Well, they're an FCS team. They beat McNeese State 31-24.
Right. Yeah.
I think Miami's a little bit better than that. But, hey, yeah, go for Nebraska.
I'm gonna go with my gut here, and I'm gonna say that Nebraska wins. I understand what you're saying about Bo Pelini, but he is also good for 9 or 10 wins every year. So he may lose 4, but he's winning 9 or 10 also.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, Will. I mean, the Big Ten definitely is probably the most powerful conference in the country right now.
Touche. All right, next game, Clemson at Florida State.
Well, I'm going to let you pick this one first.
So I think Clemson, you know, they dropped the ball against Georgia. They had a bad fourth quarter. They lost a lot of weapons last year to the draft, to graduation, and I believe that they're going to be able to replace those weapons, and I believe that at the end of the season, they will have a good season. Maybe not as good as last year, but they will have a good season. Those weapons will come around, but I don't think that they're going to come around this week. I think Florida State is good enough to shake off any advancements that Clemson has. I think that it will absolutely be closer than it was last year, just because so far this season, it doesn't seem that Florida State is quite as dominant as they were last year. They do have a bye going into this game, which gives them a huge advantage. So I'm going to say that Florida State wins by 3 scores.
I remember last year, Will, you gave the edge to Clemson in the Clemson-FSU matchup of 2013 because it was a home game for Clemson. It was going to be a slight Clemson win is your philosophy. So it's interesting to see that you have kind of finally come around and given the Noles a little bit of respect.
Right, but correct me if I'm wrong, did I pick Clemson last year?
Oh, you absolutely picked Clemson.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, you picked Clemson, and I said, are you sure? And you said, yeah, it's a home game for Clemson. These are two evenly matched teams.
Yeah, it was, but I think we walked into the, because I believe I was with you when we were watching the game, and we turned it on, and the game was just getting started.
And there was a scoop and score, right?
I think I went to the bathroom, and it was 14-0 when I got back, so.
Yeah, the game quickly got out of hand, and that was in Clemson. Now it's going to be in Tallahassee. Game day is going to be there. It's an 8 o'clock kick. Jameis Winston still starting. There has been some I don't want to say struggles. The run game thus far has not been terribly great in the first week. And last week, I don't think you can really make a lot of judgments off of it. Some people were concerned because of the lack of scoring, but you played last game 2 weeks ago. You played the Citadel, who runs an option offense, so you're not going to have as many possessions. You scored touchdowns in every drive in the first half. That's all you can ask. After that, you wanted to bring some secondary guys in, so that's pretty much as good as you can get. I don't think this is going to be close. Just like Will said, there's still enough talent. Clemson is reloading. If it was 40-point spread last year, I think you're going to see something somewhat different. I don't think that it's going to be quite like that. I'm thinking you're going to see a game. Final score will be something along the lines of 38-14.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that, yeah.
You're still looking for an identity on the run game. That's going to be something to see if you can do. I think, obviously, early, Clemson, if they're smart, they're going to force you to run.
Right.
Because you know Jameis can beat you through the air. You want to force Florida State to run the ball and actually prove that they can do that. I think they can, and I don't think Clemson's defensive line, even though they still have Vic Beasley, I don't think the defensive line at Clemson is going to be able to stack up for an entire game. I just don't think they have the power up front on offensive or defensive lines. I don't think they have the power, and obviously offensively their skill positions aren't what they once were.
Okay, that does it for the ACC. Let's move to the SEC. First game is a Thursday night matchup, Auburn at Kansas State. And this is probably the only really interesting game in the SEC lineup this week.
Well, Auburn is in the SEC.
Yep.
Obviously. The SEC is better than everybody
obviously.
Else.
I mean, this isn't even... Are we even talking about this game?
Right. Bill Snyder, second term of duty at Kansas State.
He is a
great coach.
I was looking for a good adjective to go along with great coach, but I can't find one. He's grizzled. He's gruff. He is a good coach, though.
He's a great coach. Before Bill Snyder was at Kansas State, I think their career or all-time winning percentage was something like 38% or something. It was ridiculous. They're one of the losingest programs in college football, except for the years that Bill Snyder has been coaching.
Then he left, and they went back into the dumps.
Back into the dumps. The only person to bring him out, Bill Snyder. The stadium is named after him. Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Little Manhattan. This is going to be a really special game. Kansas State upsets Auburn. Mark it down. Final score is going to be 38-35.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. But you know me, Andrew. I go to bed at night, and I can't go to bed without chanting, SEC, SEC,
yeah, I hear you do that.
SEC. I know you hear me do that. So I can't go against my Southeastern Conference pride. Andrew, Auburn is going to destroy your upset bid, and they're going to win. They're going to win big.
You think they're going to win big?
Yeah. Two scores, 14 points.
They don't match up with Kansas State. Kansas State's a big, bruising team. They don't match up well with Auburn.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
Okay, Andrew, the next several games, I really feel like we're just going to blow through these. So let's not dilly-dally, okay? Can we agree on that?
Yep.
All right. First game, Troy at Georgia. Now, Georgia, they got an apology from the SEC because of a holding call made in their game against South Carolina. So I'm glad that they got the apology because they deserve it more than anybody because they are the only program where officials make bad calls against them. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, if you listen to their fan base, that would be the case.
That would be the case.
Cry me a river, Georgia wins by 5 scores.
I don't know if it's 5 scores, but they win easily against Troy. Okay, next game, Texas A&M at SMU.
I think Texas A&M might win by 7 scores. Yeah. Already, June Jones said, I don't want to coach this game, and he resigned. So he knew that this wasn't going to be good. I mean, this one could be like 69-7. I mean, this isn't going to be close at all.
Yeah. Next game, Florida at Alabama. You know, there was a time, Andrew, where this matchup would be very, very closely watched. But now, you know, Florida just, you know, this game doesn't make any more difference to me than if it was Troy versus Alabama. I mean, I don't think that Florida has a chance in this one. I think Alabama kills them.
Well, Alabama is not Kentucky.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Roll Tide, roll Alabama, not even close. It's not even close at halftime.
No. Okay, next game, Indiana at Missouri.
Missouri wins this game.
Yeah, Missouri's good. They're really good.
And they're playing a team closer to where they should be. They need to be playing more teams up there because they don't belong in the South.
No, they're not really a Southeastern Conference. No. And they need to go back and play those Midwest teams again.
That's where they deserve to be.
Right. Northern Illinois at Arkansas.
I made the mistake of picking against Arkansas last week. I'm not going to do it again. I pick Arkansas over Northern Illinois. I don't really know what to make of Arkansas at this point, but if they keep winning games, you know, they'll probably be ranked next week just because they're in the SEC.
Oh, yeah, easily. There's 7 teams in the SEC that are ranked right now, 5 in the top 10.
Right, and Arkansas's only loss was to an SEC team, so they should be in the top 25.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
And after they beat Northern Illinois, they will be.
Yeah. Okay, next game, Mississippi State at LSU.
This is an interesting game. Mississippi State is undefeated. They run that spread offense. Dan Mullen, head coach over there. It's a home game for LSU. I think that this could be an upset, Will. This could be an upset.
Are you calling it an upset?
It could be an upset for Mississippi State. The Bulldogs going into LSU playing Les Miles. But, Will, I think that at the end of the day, Les Miles is going to eat some grass.
Mm-hmm.
Kick a field goal, yep. LSU mismanages the clock like they always do.
They almost certainly will.
But they're going to win 22-21.
Wow.
Really close game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
Wow. I can buy that. I think it might be close, but I agree. I think that LSU is a little bit too much for the Bulldogs to handle. Okay, next game, South Carolina at Vanderbilt.
Well, Will, I don't bet against the ball coach, unlike you, so I want to see who you pick in this game.
I don't know if I want to make that mistake ever again. So I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to pick with the ball coach. I say South Carolina wins easily against Vanderbilt.
Well, Will, one thing I will say, since South Carolina just beat Georgia, obviously, you know, they're riding high off that win, and I think they're overlooking Vandy because they got Missouri the week after. So I think they're overlooking Vandy.
Ooh, good point.
Remember, they overlooked Texas A&M before. That's what Paul Feinbaum said. Paul Feinbaum told us.
Right.
They were overlooking Texas A&M. They're going to be overlooking Vanderbilt. So they're only going to win by 30.
Good analysis, Andrew. Good analysis.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, I believe that is a podcast.
There you go.
For our listeners at home, just a reminder, I have a 1-game lead on Andrew. So we had 2 differences in this one. So, Andrew, you can pick up 2 whole games.
Yeah.
Or I could pick up 2 whole games.
That won't happen, though.
Or it could stay the same. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. My name, of course, is Will Patton, and I have been joined by
Andrew Brown.
Please email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. And just look us up on Facebook and click that little like button. It looks like a little thumbs up sign.
Thumbs up?
Search for us at Fourth and Short Podcast. You'll find us. You'll find us there.
We're there.
Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoy week 4 of this college football season. Have a good weekend. And
I know I will.
Oh, I will too, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.